You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Graduate from high school and head off to college. Parents help to foot the bill. That's the image that most of us have about the typical college student. But that image is very mistaken, and Michigan has hurt itself by largely ignoring the non-traditional college student. David Scobie is a visiting scholar at the University of Michigan School of Education who has been looking into this. So glad to have you with us, David.
Delighted to be here.
What percentage of college students in Michigan would you say fit that traditional image that I just described?
Well, if you ask nationally what percentage of students are just out of high school, going to school full-time, dependent on their parents, the answer is 1 out of 4.
That is stunning.
Yeah. It may be a little bit different in Michigan, but that's the national situation.
Yet we all have that image kind of carved in our minds as that's kind of what college is about. So that means 75% of people going to classes in colleges are non-traditional.
And they may be attending part-time. They may be older. About 40% of all college students are age 25 or older. Half of them are financially independent, not dependent on their parents. And that covers a whole range of different life stories. They may be Iraq war vets. They may be the 23-year-old who's bagging groceries or working in construction who kind of flamed out the first time. They may be ex-incarcerated. They may be factory workers who lost their jobs. It's a whole universe of people who need college and want to be in college and don't fit that picture that we have.
And college isn't really set up for these folks, is it?
That's the flip side, that it's not just the public who defaults to this image of the traditional student. It's most academic institutions. In everything from when classes are to rules for financial aid, which favor traditional students, to the way that teachers are trained to have certain expectations of their students.
So how does that translate into challenges, real-world challenges for these non-traditional students? What are some of the stories you've heard?
The first is just the complexity of their own lives. If anything brings the war vet and the barista and everyone else together, it's that instead of being able to organize their life and their world around a central role as college students, they have to squeeze college into whatever else they're doing. So the sheer complexity of the day and the week and the bank account is the first set of challenges. And that means that every little mini crisis, the car breaks down, your kid gets sick. The second set of challenges are actually a little bit less expected. They're emotional. Every single non-traditional student I have ever taught or interviewed for my research points to the sense of insecurity, sometimes even embarrassment at shame, at not having lived out that kind of normative high school to college story. They feel like they have to overcome an emotional barrier. And when they do, there's an enormous sense of power and victory, but there's also a real sense of precariousness. In addition to this, the social complexity and the economic complexity of the students' lives and the kind of emotional challenges, higher education itself is the third set of barriers. We are, for the most part, set up to default to the traditional image. That's true in terms of policy. Here in Michigan, for example, almost all state financial aid only goes to young students. If you're out of high school more than 10 years, you're not eligible for it. The academic calendar with the large majority of classes meeting once a week during work hours tends to punish people whose lives can't be organized that way. Even something as simple as the office hours for student services or financial aid offices. But beyond those kinds of logistical barriers, infrastructural barriers, we don't understand that the large majority of the students whom we serve and whom we're committed to educating have lives different from what we have in mind. And that gets in the way of teaching and learning. It gets in the way of staff support. It's not always true.
Right.
Every institution has its committed teachers and staff, and you hear wonderful stories about that. But you hear other stories too.
Right.
The
flip side, where people aren't getting the support.
That's right. And when you get the support, you often feel like non-traditional students are constantly swimming upstream. They're constantly putting their heads down into a headwind and kind of trudging along.
And it makes it easy to drop the dream.
That's right. They succeed at far lower rates than traditional students. And all of our students don't graduate mm-hmm. at the rates at the pace that we'd like. But non-traditional students, according to one federal study, graduate from bachelor's programs at one-third the rate of traditional students. And it's not – this really needs stressing. It's not because their goals are more instrumental, they're less committed. In fact, just the opposite. I began doing this work because I was so inspired by the intentionality of my students who stick it out and put their head down and love learning despite all of these complexities and barriers.
If you're fighting all those battles at age 30, you are really in it.
That's right. I have taught for 30 years. I love teaching. When I taught here at the University of Michigan, largely traditional students, it was a joy every day. But I have never been so moved as when I began teaching non-traditional students. They really kind of turned my interests in this direction.
And if we think of Michigan and we keep hearing we don't have enough trained people for the jobs that are open, is that – are we missing something by not helping this big cohort of non-traditional students get through?
Yes. Here in Michigan, we have an enormous number of non-traditional students. But even beyond that, there's a huge number of folks with some college credits who've dropped out or stopped out. That's estimated to be about one in every four working adult in Michigan. There are about 700,000 some credit, no degree folks in Metro Detroit. So there are as many people in that situation as there are residents of the city itself. So there's an enormous opportunity and need here. And some institutions are doing it well, others not so much. But I would say as a higher ed sector and as a state, we haven't turned our minds and our hearts to this in a way that we need to really design educational opportunities that are great for traditional students.
So what could that look like? Give us an example of the way it's being done well to serve these students.
Let me give you an example, actually not from the state of mm-hmm. Michigan, a program that I love, part of Evergreen State College in Washington State. They have a program in Tacoma, an urban program that grew out of the African-American neighborhood there. The Tacoma program is small. It has 200 students every year, and it's a college completion program. Very strong sense of community and peer support. Very strong sense of committed advising by faculty and staff. Their students are 75% federal poverty level, and they have an 80% graduation rate.
That's amazing.
And part of their secret sauce is understanding and scheduling the time and places of learning around these students' lives in ways that we've been talking about. But part of it is culture and climate, creating a welcoming, relentlessly supportive environment. In Michigan, I would say that the less flagship public institutions often do that more effectively. UM Dearborn and Flint are notable examples of that. And interestingly, the Catholic institutions in the state.
So what do you see as the challenges for our academic community in our state in order to help these people succeed?
I would say they're two opposing challenges. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, folks, as I was, who have been relatively clueless about this non-traditional majority need to say, all right, how can we learn about these students' lives and needs and redesign educational opportunities and everything from the classes that are taught to the way credits are earned to support them. But on the other hand, we need not to assume that all these students want is quick and dirty workforce training, which tends to be the kind of second default that people make.
Certificates.
Right.
Or, yeah, okay.
So, and we want a higher ed system with a range of long-term and short-term opportunities from one-year workforce certificates to bachelor's programs. We're too often defaulting to the assumption that, okay, what these working adults need is the health tech certificate. Mm. And my view is let's have a balance, but whatever students want to do, let's make sure that their learning combines skill building that they need for their work lives with opportunities for reflection and self-transformation that feed the rest of their motives and aspirations.
And what's your advice to someone listening who is in that 75% of the students who are gutting it out and trying to make it as a non-traditional student?
That's a great question. I would say if, as most of them do, they want to return to college and finish maybe something that they feel that they'd started and not finished, it's important, it's empowering, it's worth the struggle to overcome the barriers, but also do two more things. Find a program that recognizes who you are, and find a program where you'll have peers and a learning community that will support you. And that usually means not always not sitting in front of a screen. There are some online programs that do foster that community, but for the most part, it's pretty isolationist and quick and dirty. So I'm much more in favor of programs where there's an anchor of face-to-face learning, and you might layer on different kinds of online and experiential learning on top of that.
And don't give up.
And don't give up.
Fascinating, fascinating work that you're doing. David Scobie, visiting scholar at the University of Michigan School of Education. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for asking.